a way of general introduction to the two chapters before us, and you should open to lesson 12 as well as to the Genesis section. You see, the two major areas, first of all, a believer's relationship to the world. This refers particularly to the connection of Abraham with Abimelech. Very clearly, it's a teaching lesson in the believer's relationship to the world. As you can see, he brings upon himself by his actions the reproof of the world. And the second area is that we are introduced to Isaac, as we pointed out, pictures sonship. And very important, the birth of Isaac is an illustration of salvation. These are the two main things. We will see, and I hope that you have seen it in a general way, that through all of these activities of Abraham, he is being tested of God. He's not being seduced to evil, as James teaches us, but he is being tested and tried of God. And the testings and trials of God are helping to prepare Abraham for this tremendous test that he's going to face in the very near future. The most severe test of his entire life and his relationship to God. What was that test? The offering of the life. Now, obviously, this is something that he probably would not have been able to pass successfully earlier in his ministry. And God knows what is ahead of us, and he knows that we need to be prepared for these severe tests that may well be ahead of us. And we see in general that there are three tests used by God specifically to prepare Abraham to offer up Isaac. In short, what God is teaching Abraham is discipleship. Following the Lord. He is training him to renounce everything to follow the Lord alone. And in a very real sense, that's what Christian life in the training in the school of God is all about. You have to see beyond the maze of incidents and failures and stumblings and what we call accidents, chances, and all this sort of thing. Through it all, God is working something out in our lives. We want to see this in the men of Scripture, and to a greater extent, we want to see God working in our own lives. There's such a thing as accidents with God. First of all, the three tests. He must cast out Ishmael. He must cast out Ishmael. Because God said he could not live in the same house with Isaac. His determination to rid his household of Ishmael was something that rested first in the heart of God. And as explained, of course, in the context of Galatians 4. Ishmael had to go. We're going to see this has to do with the grounds of fruitfulness in life. Number two, he was going to have to declare our covenant with the world that he was a stranger and a pilgrim, that is to Abimelech. He's going to have to make a very firm stand on this, that he is a stranger and a pilgrim. And number three, he was going to learn to be satisfied only with a well of water. And we see this in the New Testament in the teaching of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 4, and more specifically also in John chapter 7. A well of water. The well, of course, in the Scripture always speaks of a place of spiritual refreshment. The Lord Jesus taught us particularly that it has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. He that believeth in me, out of his innermost being shall flow, what? Rivers of living water. Now we get into verses 1 and 2, and we've already commented on the fact that here he has seemingly almost an identical experience as he had in chapter 12. So much so that the literal liberal critics of the New Testament do not accept this as two separate incidents. They think it's just simply two sources that have been brought together in the same document, because to them it was incredible. The scriptures presenting that man of God would have been doing the same thing twice in a row. Now, why they would doubt that, I don't know, because is it true in our Christian experience that we go back and make the same mistake more than once?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a strange thing. They won't believe that, because that's a typical life experience, that we tend to repeat mistakes. And so it's back to the old drawing board again. Certainly man has the capacity to make the mistake, same mistake repeatedly, and that's true here. And the reason that he repeats the experience is that he hadn't learned the lesson. You see the typical thing, he journeys to the south, and when he journeys to the south, he journeys toward what? Okay? He's moving back toward the world. And he is under testing, as we can see from the significance of the name. Now, in verses 3 through 7, we're very struck with the fact of the protection of God. Here's a man moving away from the Lord. And what is God's attitude toward Abraham as he moves in the wrong direction, Greg? Sure. It's a good thing the Lord protects us when we're moving in the wrong direction, isn't it? He was sure looking after him. Now, he wasn't stopping him from doing what he was doing, going through an experience, but he was watching over him just the same. And in addition to that, his care over him extended to his ability to control the hearts of kings. Scripture says the hearts of kings are in the hands of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. The book of Romans tells us the powers that be are what? Ordained of God. God called a heathen ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. The Bible teaches that God can and does control the hearts of rulers to do anything that he really wants them to do. It was he who hardened the heart of Pharaoh, wasn't it? And caused him to resist the demands of complain and murmur and rationalize and all this other stuff. These are the vestiges of the old man, the old life, like the grave clothes of Lazarus that are still clinging to us. Abraham rebukes Sarah, and he gives her money for a veil. Boy, isn't that a beautiful expression there. What in the world did he give her money for a veil for? What's the significance of that, Chris?
I don't really understand that. Part that I understand is that she should have been veiled from him in the first place.
Sure.
And that just giving that money to her was a real rebuke to her.
Sure. What's the oriental aspect of the veil?
Like a wedding ring, you know.
Well, you can bear, you have a virgin, you wear a veil. What is it? Still do it in the Muslim world.
Because no one can see them but the one that,
right.
Even the husband.
Only the husband sees your face. The world never sees your face. You see, that's as bad in that world as to expose yourself nakedly before somebody. And so you wear the veil. You see, the veil says, I will keep myself for another. And so the Christian should keep himself for Christ. And he does not expose himself to the world in this sense. And Abimelech says that's what you should have done. Now, if you can't keep yourself from exposing yourself to the world, I'll give you money and you buy a veil. Boy, that is a rebuke, isn't it? And he sends her away, you see. Because, you see, the world doesn't have any use for a Christian that's lost his testimony. They have you only in contempt.
had nothing but contempt for a Christian that's lost his testimony. They'll laugh today as surely as the men of Lot of Sodom and the sons-in-law of Lot laughed at him. I know what it is because I wasn't converted till I was a grown man. There's no person that's so severely mocked as a person that's supposed to be a Christian if they didn't live up to it. Then the miracle of Isaac's birth. He came at the set time, reminds us that chapter 21, that when the Lord Jesus came, he came in the fullness of time. Just the right time. Jesus didn't come 1 second late or 1 second early. And in chapter 21, we have the miracle of Isaac's birth. Verse 2 tells us that Sarah conceived. About 3 months before, she'd been doubting. But Hebrews 11:11 tells us that in a certain way, Sarah conceived. How did she conceive? According to Hebrews 11:11. Remember? Something that she couldn't have done 3 months earlier. When she was chuckling away. By faith. She didn't have it before, did she? And the only way that she conceived that child was by faith. By faith, Hebrews 11:11. Sarah conceived. So there had been a change in Sarah's heart from unbelief to faith. A change in an attitude from doubt. Because we know without faith, the Bible says, it is difficult to please God. Is that right, Bill? Impossible.